I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Okay, he said, now you 11 here. He said, I'm the true vine. Well, they were already attached to him. They'd already been made clean, saved by the word spoken to them by John. They had already believed the Messiah was coming. And when he came, they received him as the Messiah. And now he said, I'm the true vine. He said, I'm God's vine on this earth. And he said, my Father's the husbandman. He said, the Father sent me. He superintends me. He is in me. I'm in the Father, and he's in me. He said, every branch in me that beareth fruit, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. We had a couple of young church members visit us recently. And they're young. And they're just a delight. They've got more questions than Carter's got liver pills. And they said, Brother Michael Murray, I can't understand why people, after they get saved, won't get faithful to the Lord. They said, just can't understand it. I said, you know, I just wait and watch. And I said, after a while, maybe you'll understand it. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. God's going to give you some time to produce fruit. He's not going to take away your salvation. These men were in fellowship with the Lord. For more than 3 years, they'd followed. They were in fellowship with the Lord. They weren't just saved. They weren't just members of the first church. They were in fellowship with the Lord. Now, there's a difference between fellowship and salvation. Salvation saves the soul to give it the opportunity to fellowship with God. And just as sure as salvation was a choice that a human can make, so is fellowshipping with God. After you get saved, salvation is by grace. Sometimes I know you think, perhaps the repetition, I keep hitting the pulpit and I keep saying, salvation is by grace, salvation is by grace, salvation is by grace, salvation is by grace. It is. Now, you don't have to serve God after you get saved. You don't have to be baptized after you're saved. You don't have to do anything, because Jesus did it all. And you don't get to go to heaven because of Jesus' work, not your own. But just as sure as salvation was a choice, after you get saved, you also have another choice to make. And it's a free will choice. If you don't make it, you really make it. Because it's a choice as to whether or not you want to serve God on his terms. And it's strictly a personal matter between you and the Lord. And I know sometimes you think I may put pressure on people, and I try not to. Maybe I'm guilty. But that's what this is talking about. He said, if you don't bear fruit, he said, he taketh away. Taketh away from fellowship with him. He says, okay, you've come up to this point. You seem to be happy there. He said, I'll just take away my fellowship from you, not your salvation. And that's what God does sometimes. He said, in every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. If what God saved us, all of a sudden we got changed, we got our new glorified body, we were forever sealed in a glorified body, we could not sin, we were incapable of sin, then he wouldn't have to purge us. But he doesn't save our flesh. And so, for the rest of our lives after we're saved, if we try to bring forth fruit for God, if we make an honest effort, if we go ahead and submit to baptism, and after baptism we start trying to do what God wants us to do in life and be faithful to him, you are going to get pruned. You're going to have some problems. You're going to have troubles. You may have marital problems. You may have children problems. You may have business problems. You may have house problems. You may have relative problems, in-law problems, job problems. you are going to have problems. That's the pruning. Whenever you prune something so it'll bring forth more fruit, you take a fruit tree, most fruit trees. If you just leave them grow wild, whatever the fruit is, it'll just keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. But if you nip the ends of the branches, if you skin off some of the leaves and just leave part of it sticking up without any leaves, it hurts the tree. I mean, if the tree had feelings, it would scream. But out of that, it produces more fruit and bigger fruit. And so after you get saved, God wants you to produce fruit. And he prunes you. And you're going to have problems. Now, after a while, after God has pruned you, and after you've gone through a pretty desperate time of life, where you may have lost your husband, your wife, your friends, your business, all those things that are dear to you. After the Lord sees that he's pruned you and you're bringing forth fruit, the pruning will let up and things will get better. But every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He withdraws fellowship. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He isn't just talking about the fact that they were made clean when they believed the message of John the Baptist. John the Baptist and Jesus preached the same message. John preached before Jesus, and he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They turned to God, repenting, put their faith in Messiah who was coming, which is what Paul said in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. By the time Paul wrote that, Messiah had been revealed personally as Jesus Christ. But they believed the gospel that John preached, and they had been made clean, they had been saved, they had been, their souls had been sealed, they were children of God. And then they went through a three-year process. What was that process? They were the church. For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Jesus began to teach them, and their soul began to gain better control over their flesh, and their attitudes and their outlook and their conduct began to shape up, and they gained more control over the flesh. As you gain more control over the flesh by yielding to Christ in you, you naturally produce more fruit, and the fruit that you bear is not based on false teaching, but on the truth by which you were cleansed. He said, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you. He said, John preached the message, you got saved. He said, now your life's being cleaned up by what I've spoken to you. He said, now here's what you need to do. This is a message to church members. This isn't a message to lost people. This is a message to church members. He says, abide in me and I in you. What does Ephesians say the church is? Very clearly, it even states it, that the church is the body of Christ. Now, what is the body of Christ? It's the church. What is the vine on this earth? It's the church. Where are you supposed to be to give fruit to God? In the church, his body. And that's where you produce fruit. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Well, how do you do that? You abide in his body, and he abides in you, and he abides in every local New Testament church. And as long as you're in fellowship with that church, you're automatically in fellowship with the Lord. And if you're in fellowship with the Lord, you're going to be faithful in that church. These were saved men. Yet he told them to abide in me and I in you. Now, when Jesus comes to live in a saved person, he comes to live forever, eternally. And he never leaves them. and He never forsakes me. But there's a difference between a home and a house to the people that occupy it. Right over there behind me is my home. I know it's the church building. I know it belongs to Christ. I know this body here belongs to Christ. I'm at home in that house. I've lived there now ever since we built it, me. Lower 80. It's a home to me. I live there. I like it. I enjoy being there. It's a pleasant place. That's a home to me. It means a lot to me, even though it's not mine. Well, this body in which I live, it's a home. But I don't put high value on it, because it's just a temporary house that I'm going to live in. Now, when you talk about a home, a woman can probably understand this a lot better than a man. There's a difference between a house and a home. A home to a woman that's lived there all of her life is a home. To a woman who's had to shuffle from place to place, like poor old Imogene did while the whole time I was in National Security Agency and the Air Force, they were just houses that we lived in. Difference between a house and a home. When Jesus first comes to live in you, He lives in a house. The house is your body. But you're the one that determines whether or not it becomes a home to Him. You're the one that determines whether you're going to let Him change it like He wants it. You're the one who's going to determine whether you let Jesus put in His own color curtains, His own type of flooring, His own type of decor. You're the one that decides how much you're going to let Jesus change this house in which He lives. And that's what this is talking about. It's talking about abiding in Him and letting your house become His home, because He changes it to suit Himself. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you, ye, except ye abide in me. These were church members. This was the first church. Saved, scripturally baptized. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You can't give glory to God separated from the vine, which is Christ, and the church is His body, and His body is the earthly vine on this earth. And whether you like His modus operandi, whether you like the way He operates, and the way He has chosen to do all this, is a mighty secondary, because God has chosen to get glory in the local church, which is the body of His Son. And everything else that goes on around it, I'm not saying He doesn't get glory out of it, but I'm saying if you want to give glory to God, you better do it where God said to in the local New Testament church. He said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. I've been in God's work now for a long time. I've pastored this church for more than 30 years. In that 30 years, I have seen an awful lot of preachers, young men, even some older men, who have bolted from the work, believing the church is universal and invisible, failing to recognize it's the body of Christ, going on a binge, an evangelical binge, to win lost souls, turning the church into a soul-winning factory, and ignoring truth that God indicated was necessary for a church to be His church. Ignoring baptism, accepting believers' baptism, ignoring the way the Lord wants the Lord's Supper to be conducted. This is His house. He paid for it, and He wants to make it His home. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, but without me ye can do nothing. The worst thing in the world is found in the next verse. Not the worst thing in the world, but one of the worst things in the world. And so, Lord willing, I notice the eyelids are getting heavy. I'll just pick this up next. I usually watch Paul and Cooney and some others who shall go nameless. And as I see the eyelids start to drop, I say, well, it's time to finish. So we'll just take